forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood. Oh, there's victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood. I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory! Oh, sing it to him. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, aren't you glad there's victory in Jesus this morning? Somebody say praise the Lord. I want you to turn around, shake somebody's hand and tell them this right here. Do you know how fortunate you are to be in the house of God today? Now, that's a lot to tell somebody. Don't forget it. Do you know how fortunate you are to get to be in the house of God today? Oh, there's victory in Jesus forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. Savior forever, he sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the... You gotta sing that one more time. Oh, victory. My Savior forever, he sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood. Somebody say praise the Lord. Oh, go ahead and give him a good hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Oh, listen to me. Right here in the middle of Satan's Eden, we're having the time of our life. Somebody say praise the Lord. Oh, it's good to be a Christian today. It's good to have victory in your heart today. Give him one more hand clap of praise if you love him. Well, praise the Lord. I'm going to let you be seated this morning. I just got a feeling we're fixing to have some church here today. Are you glad to be back in camp meeting? Oh, camp meeting Sunday morning edition. It's going to be good. Somebody say it's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. We've got some prayer requests we want you to notice about this morning. We're going to, Brother Daniel, if you'll get ready to come this morning, I want you to remember Jeff Dykes in prayer. He's been in the hospital since last Monday, internal bleeding. They're not sure exactly what's wrong, but that's a friend of some of the folks here in the church that know him, Jeff Dykes. We just pray that the Lord would be with him as they try to find out his problem. We'd like for the church to pray for Sister Jaretta. Seems as though she has symptoms of a bad stomach virus. Brother Terry Stockton sends that in, so let's remember those requests this morning. I want to pray for Brother Buzz Livingston. He wants to be able to be back in the house of the Lord. Also remember his wife, Sister Joy, and family and caregivers. God is still a miracle working God. So we certainly want to pray for our brother that the Lord would just let that be so in his life, that he'd be able to come back to the house of the Lord. Brother Joel Moyer says to continue to remember his wife in prayer for her continued healing in her body. Also continue to remember my two daughters, that God will restore our two daughters to us. Also continue to remember me in prayer about my job. God got some decisions to make, just needing the mind of the Lord. God bless. Brother Moyer sends that in, so let's remember that prayer request. Sister Linda Jablonski says, I want to thank God for helping my friend Rachel. Please continue to pray that God will save her soul. Also, last Sunday morning during the service, God answered my prayer. When Brother Donnie was preaching, I asked God for an answer, and right in the service, God answered my prayer request. Praise the Lord. And she wants to thank everyone who has prayed and been so nice to her family. So we appreciate that family also, don't we? Amen. Brother John Roberts sends this in. Actually got several announcements concerning this. I want you to remember in prayer this morning, Brother Randall Gisendanner and Brother Daniel Gisendanner and that whole family there. Their father passed away this morning. Also, his mother needs prayer. She was taken to the hospital. I understand she's doing some better, but I get maybe just the shock or whatever. Just want to remember that family as we pray today that the Lord would just comfort their hearts and be with them. He's an on-time God. He always shows up when we really need him, and I know he'll be in the presence of this family during the loss of Brother Bud Gisendanner. All the unspoken prayer requests this morning, if you have a need, something you'd like for this group to pray about, could we stand? Brother Daniel, if you'd come, take us to the Lord in prayer on behalf of these prayer requests. We appreciate this little guy right here, don't we? Amen. I love you, brother.
Amen. God's good to us, isn't he? Amen. You know, Wednesday night, I've never been in a funeral service like that. Amen. That was a real service. If you weren't here, Brother Donnie was preaching about Moses and took us from a funeral to a resurrection. Then last night he was calling in elections, predestination, how that we are predestinated before the foundation of the world. We don't have nothing to do with it. Amen. I just stand amazed this morning. That's all I can say. Let's pray over these requests. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be in this service again today. Thank you for our congregation, for this people. Thank you for our pastor, God. What he means to us, Heavenly Father, for his family. God, for each person in this church today, we just praise you for him, God. And now, Lord, we bring our petitions, our requests before your throne, knowing, God, that it's by your stripes we are healed. Heavenly Father, it's by your blood that we have remissions of sins. God, we pray in the name of Jesus, whoever it might be, over the internet, in the fellowship hall, whoever, God, that you stretch forth your hand now to heal, to save, and to deliver. And Heavenly Father, we pray that you be with the one that lost their loved one. Oh, God, we pray that you comfort the heart. Be with that family, Lord Jesus. Be with that wife, that mother, Heavenly Father. Keep your hand up on me, Heavenly Father. Now we commit this service unto your hands. We pray, God, that you bless Brother Dying. every part of this service. May your Holy Ghost move. We'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you'd like to come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here with us in the service today, we want to welcome you. Glad to have each and every one of you here. All those that are streaming, we pray this service will be a great blessing to those folks as well. You know, there's two lines of thought on this song that we're going to sing. Somebody said, you better stay in the ship. And somebody said, well, you ain't got no faith if you don't try to get out of the boat. And get out of the ship and walk on the water. But I'm glad, just like Brother Daniel said to me to go, I'm glad, really, when you get right down to it, just believe. Just be a believer. Not from here, but believe from right here. He's got everything in control. Whether you get out of the boat and try to walk on the water, you may drown. You may have the faith to walk on the water. But your safety net is to stay in this old ark. This old ship of Zion. It's going to see us safely through. Do you believe that? Somebody say praise the Lord. Now give him one more hand clap of praise this morning. They said we could do this and see. So we're going to see. If we can do that song. See. I appreciate these guys up here, don't you? Give them one more hand. If you better put it in G. Let's go to G. I don't trust C. Well, I'm going to take a trip on the old gospel ship. I'm going far beyond the sky. I'm going to shout and sing until the heavens ring while I'm bidding this world goodbye. Take a trip on the old gospel ship. I'm going far beyond the sky. I'm going to shout and sing until the heavens ring while I'm bidding this world goodbye. I have good news to bring. That is why I sing all my joy with you. I'm gonna take a trip on that old gospel ship and go sailing through the air. I'm going far beyond the sky. I'm gonna shout and sing till the heavens ring. Spend my time in prayer. When my ship comes in, I'll leave this world of sin and go sailing through the air. I'm going far beyond the sky. I'm going to shout. Ship. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's sing that little chorus together just before we have our special this morning. I'm glad for one thing. He's got it all in control today. In a world filled with uncertainty, your life may take a lot of turns here and there, this and that, ups and downs. But I'm glad He's got it all in control. We commit our ways unto Him. He's big enough to see us through, Brother Terry. I believe that with all my heart. If you didn't believe that, what kind of shape would you be in? If you served a God that you didn't know if he's going to answer your prayer or not, if you didn't know He's going to save you or not, it's just a potluck meal that you're in. You don't know nothing. You're hoping. I'm glad it's far beyond hope. I'm glad it's been settled. We're going out of here. We're leaving this place. We're out of here. You can color us gone because we're leaving. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. Let's sing this together, if you will, this morning. He's got it all in control. With all your heart. He's got it all in control. He's put that reassurance way down in my soul. He's got it all in control. With all your heart now. He's got it all. Say it like you believe it.
He's got it all
in control. He's put that reassurance way down in my soul. He's got it all in control. I put my life in His hand. I put my life in His hand. In His plan, I put my life in His hand because He's got it. He's got it all in control. Thank you, Father. We thank you, Father.
He's got it all
in control. He's put that reassurance way down in my soul. He's got it all in control. Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say glory.
Glory.
Amen. I'm going to let you be seated this morning. Now, we played a song off of Brother Donnie's new CD on Wednesday night. We're going to play one more for you this morning. I want the brothers to play "He's the Only Reason I Live." But oh, what a reason. If you don't have one of these CDs, we listen to it on Wednesday twice all the way through. And just for the first time, got to just really, really enjoy it. It's a tremendous CD. It'll be a great blessing in your home. If you'd like to pick one of those up, they have them available in the library. But enjoy this song with us as Brother Donnie sings, "He's the Only Reason." And Brother Harry, I asked you, Brother Harry, I said, did you help Brother Donnie on this CD? He said, yes, I did. I said, well, okay. So, but I believe you'll enjoy it. God bless you.
I've been blessed with many things. My God's been good to me. I have family and friends who share in all I do. But if I lose it all and I left with nothing. If I had the Lord, I know I'll make it through. He's the only reason I live, but oh, what a reason. He's the only reason I live, but oh, what a reason. There's nothing in this world worth living for. It only leaves you empty and longing for more. He's the only reason I live, but oh, what a reason. You may try a lot of things to find real happiness, but if you've looked very long, you'll know it just cannot be found. Until you find the Lord and know the power of His Spirit, His Holy Spirit, He'll be your reason to live, and He'll never let you down. He's the only reason I live, but oh, what a reason. He's the only reason I live, but oh, what a reason. There's nothing in this world worth living for. It only leaves you empty and longing for more. He's the only reason I live, but oh, what a reason. You see, there's nothing in this world that's worth living for. It only leaves you empty and longing for.
How many of you can say that?
Yeah.
He's the reason we're here. Amen. Let's stand to our feet as Brother Donnie gets ready to come bring us the word of the Lord this morning. Let's sing this old song. It's old as it can be, but it's a good song. We're working on a building. And you know what? We're getting close to getting done.
Yeah.
Are you glad you're getting close to being done? Look at somebody and say, are you done? We're getting close. I'm working on a building. I'm working on a building. I'm working on a building for my Lord. It's a Holy Ghost building. It's a Holy Ghost building. It's a Holy Ghost building for my Lord. We're working on a building. We're working on a building. working on a building for my Lord, for my Lord. It's a Holy Ghost building. It's a Holy Ghost building. It's a Holy Ghost building for my Lord, for my Lord. If I was a sinner, I tell you what I'd do. I'd quit all my sinning and go to work on the building too. I'm working on a building. I'm working on a building. We're working on a building for my Lord, for my Lord. It's a Holy Ghost building. It's a Holy Ghost building.
Working on the building, we are the building. We're the building that's been worked on too, ain't we? Some of y'all feel like you need a good working over sometimes. More likely when you feel like you don't need it, it's when you need it the most. Amen. Let's turn again today to Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Let's look by the help of the Lord and the will and the galleries again today. So enjoyed the service last night and the words. Amen. The grace of the Lord to us. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Let's pray together and ask the Lord's blessings on the word. Lord Jesus, thank you today for the reading of your word. We're so grateful, Heavenly Father, that once again we've been granted the opportunity and the privilege to be gathered here in this place. Father, we are so grateful that we live still yet in a nation to where we can be able to come together in church and bless your name and worship and hear the word. Lord, having traveled in different parts of the world, Lord, and knowing how it can be in China and different parts of the Eastern Bloc countries to where that they are forbidden, oh Lord, I pray we would not let this opportunity pass before us, Father. We pray that you would help us, Lord Jesus, that we can be so infilled with your presence. Lord, I pray for Brother Mike Price. I pray, Lord Jesus, for Brother Doug Baker as they leaving tomorrow, go on missionary trips in Burma and different places. May the Spirit of God just be with them, Lord. I hold in my hand, Father, these prayer cloths today. You see the needs of these individuals. We bring them before you, asking you to move by your power. No doubt, Lord, there's so many needs among us today of sickness and disease and calamities in people's lives. Lord, we want to remember today the Gissendener family, Father, that you'd be with them. Lord, as Brother Bud was taken home this morning, Father, me and Carol was there with him and his wife just a few weeks ago. And poor fella could hardly move around, just been able to walk. And Lord, I was singing about him a while ago, sitting back in the office already this morning. He's over there in that sixth dimension shouting around in a brand new body, a young man. Father, we pray for his wife, pray for his family, that you'd be with him and help him during this time. Bless the word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Let me reiterate just a little bit what we spoke about last night for a few moments to to be able to understand about God's immutable, unchanging character and nature. It's easy to see where the people that would view him from a selective view of teachers and theologians and commentaries, and they would get such a wrong, completely wrong view about God and who he is and the way he does and the way he moves, and even in the character that he has toward humanity. And we know that God is unlike you and I. We're constantly changing, and we're learning things new every week of our life, don't you? You know, sometimes nearly every day you wake up in a whole new world and you think, wow, where was I yesterday? But God, it's hard for us to imagine a being who has never had a new thought about anything, or that he would change his mind about his word. Now, we know he has a permissive will and a perfect will, but he never changes his mind about his word. And for people to be able to try to understand him and look at him from the way that teachers would interpret him, you can see why that their view of God would be so wrong. Then when reality begins to strike them, it's like it's overwhelming. Truly, the Godhead is this way. Election is this way. Predestination, the sovereignty of God, God's choice. Many of the attributes that the message of the hour so brings out to us that for the most part the denominational teachers do not teach. Now, I have many different encyclopedias and dictionaries and commentaries and different things that I study whenever I look into the Word of God. And I look at Greek words, Hebrew words, Aramaic words. I want to know what I'm talking about when I stand before you. But it always amazes me, and I marvel at it when you look and see that the commentators will disagree on this, and they'll have this view and this will have that view. And once you look at that, you realize why we needed a prophet, not just a preacher, that would come and say, well, you know, it could be this, or it could be that, or it could be something else. We needed a more sure word, a prophecy that would give our faith a place to where it could be established and strengthened and know that it's the truth. Now, those men had their day, and you know, it was the man anointing when many of the great commentators lived. John Gill, right in the 1600s, and we know that for many of them, they lived in that time frame. It was the man anointing. And they had tremendous things to say about the gospel. Most every one of them was Trinitarian. Hardly any of them understood election. Very few of them understood the Godhead. It was just not given to them. It was not given to them to be able to comprehend it. And when you and I look at it today and find that many of the churches today are teaching basically some of the same things that was believed during the Dark Ages. So you see that many of them have not moved at all. Many of them are believing and teaching the teachings of of what was promoted and actually given as gospel light hundreds and hundreds of years ago. So we needed to be illuminated for this hour in order to make a rapture. If not, then the teachings of the 1600s and the 1700s would be able to bring a rapture. Then why do we need a prophet for this day? But it would not. So what God wanted to do was bring the further enlightenment to the word and take those things which were truths and be able to allow the prophet to tie the loose ends together. Now, some of the things that Brother Branham preached, he would pull from Wesley. He would pull from Luther. He would pull from John Gill. I've been in his library and I've seen some of his books and pull some of them out of there and see things that he underlines. I've seen some of the things that he preached on the dispensational truths of Clarence Larkin, which was written in 1909 up through 1914. I've seen many of those things. God of this evil age, Satan's Eden. You'll find some direct words verbatim that he pulled out of that. Why? Because what he said was the truth. So the prophet did not come to bring entirely all new things, but to pull the loose ends of the truths that were given in the days of Luther, in the days of Wesley, and even in the days of Pentecost, right? So God is wanting to bring a people back to the original truths. So we know that Paul, whenever they would have stood in that earlier day, they would have not had to dealt with Pentecostal tradition, Baptist, Methodist, Church of God, because there were none. As I mentioned it before, just a few weeks ago, that Paul himself actually never even read the book of Revelation. Why? Because it was not written. Matthew never read the book of Revelation. Luke never read it. Many of these apostolic fathers never even read the book
book of Revelation, it was not necessary for their time, but it was necessary for our time. Now, in the church ages, many of them read it, but they didn't understand it. Why? Because it was not given. They was not needed for them to be able to consummate what they would need for the body change. But he said, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, then shall the mystery of God be finished. That's our day. Now, in a lot of those mysteries, many people's hearts has been restored. But I find it so amazing that people have been restored as far as their outside appearance. Many of them has been restored as far as they don't believe in eternal hell. Women, preachers, this, that, the other. But when it comes to election and the proper understanding of the Godhead, many are still hundreds and hundreds of years backwards in reverse. And you think, is that what the original church believed? They did not. When you would preach to them the proper perception of God being able to elect and foreordain and predestinate, they would have had no problem. They would have not struggled in believing that God would do this. So when they would Romans 8:28, Ephesians 1:3, Ephesians 3:11, when they would read these passages of Scripture in the New Testament, they did not struggle. And Paul told them in Thessalonians that, well, you were chosen from the beginning. You were chosen from the beginning to believe the truth. They would have not have struggled because there was no such false doctrine in that time that they would have had to pull that word through. So they simply would have said, amen, so be it. But because we have lived now hundreds of years later and pulled all of these truths that have been lost down through the ages through church age interpretation, this is why that we needed to have our hearts restored back to the original faith, which was believed. Now, some of you, you may struggle. If Paul would have been in the service that we had here last night, the deacons would probably had a hard time dealing with Paul, because Paul would have been up and down and running around this building. He would have been in that door and out the back door. He'd have come through the pulpit. He'd have probably nearly set me down or knocked me down as I was preaching, because he said, glory to God, that's the way I preached it. If Peter would have been there, Peter said, glory to God, that's the way I preached it. And Jude would have said, glory to God, that's the way I preached it. If some of the first century saints would have been here, they would have not been struggling the way some of you were. We'd have had a hard time. They'd have probably took over the meeting and said, glory to God, that's the way we believed it. Well, praise the Lord, because they did not struggle with the tradition of Arminianism or with free will Baptists or legalistic of Pentecost. They simply believed it from a Judeo-Christian background. So them being Jews, initially the original church was, then they already had the concept or the idea that God could choose one man and elect one man out of the entire earth and give that one man his covenant and place that man upon an unconditional basis that nothing the man did or would ever do that would allow him to receive this covenant, that God did it by grace. And the church said, now you see, it's the same way then with Trinitarianism. If people read the New Testament and they hear Jesus talking about the Father and they hear Paul talking about Father and Son and they don't understand and they read the New Testament only, and then they try to perform, you know, in their mind think, well, how is the Godhead? How is it? So here's this old man, and here's this younger man, and here's this Holy Spirit, which is invisible. It sounds like there's three people. But if you pull the Godhead from the Old Testament to the New Testament, you only find one. And when you read it from there, then you understand it. It's attributes of the same God. Same with election. Now, if you try to form election, predestination, foreknowledge, and people through their concept of grace, not the truth of grace, but their concept of grace of what God is, then it's easy to see, well, it's unjust. It's not fair for God to do this and that. But once you pull it from the view of the Old Testament, that God had election in the Old Testament, he always has. God has had choosing and calling and foreknowledge. Then when you read it from that, then you see the immutable, unchangeable nature of God. It cannot be altered. God was not changed from the Old Testament to the New. God never got saved in the New Testament. He wasn't lost. The New Testament did not change God's nature or his desire to deal with man. It only brought the heart of God into view. But it did not alter the unchangeable nature of Elohim. Now, notice notices in Genesis again, chapter 13, verse 15, that God says to Abram, "For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it and to thy seed forever." Now this is the unconditional covenant as far as them being the recipient of the land that God gave. But how long they would have the land, how long they would live in the land, and the conditions they would live in the land is based upon their obedience to the word. Now let's parallel it between us as believers. As far as receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost, sealed to the day of our redemption, you being called by God, given God's grace and mercy, it is totally unconditional. But how much peace you have with God, healing in your body, how much joy you have, that's based upon conditions. If you don't want it, you can be a miserable mossback Christian at Happy Valley. Or you can be one so full of the Holy Ghost that you have joy unspeakable. That part is based upon your obedience to the word, your prayer life. It has nothing to do with your soul. Genesis 17:7, "And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant." Now listen, an everlasting covenant. So part of this is absolutely irrefutable. It can never be taken back. It can never be reset. It is an everlasting covenant. Oh, you said, "But Brother Donnie, the Jews, they've been driven all over everywhere." That's exactly right. So what did they lose? The conditional part. The conditional part was their land. Now God knew there would come a time when the Gentiles are being grafted into the vine, making them a bride. But even in that, the Jews have the opportunity to also come in on an individual basis. But even though the Jews were rejected as being the bride, God can never reject Israel as a whole. They will be there, oh my, they will be there in the eighth day. The 12 tribes will be there. The apostles, which are Jews, will sit there at the gate of the city. They will never be annihilated from the presence of God. Why? They have an everlasting covenant. But what will happen? They will lose part of their natural inheritance, which is the land. The same way with you and I. Can an elect member of the bride of Jesus Christ get cold and indifferent and start doing things they should not do? Absolutely. Every one of you sitting here today, no. With the baptism of the Holy Ghost in your soul, sometimes you have to struggle to pray. Sometimes you have to struggle when you read your Bible. Is that right? You have to struggle in a world of trouble. You have to struggle in a world with so much to absorb your time, to allocate the proper amount of time for you to have that feeling in your heart toward the Lord. Because you could be a Christian, but you just don't have that feeling that you want to have. And the church said, now what's that based upon? The unconditional covenant has nothing to do with your walk with God as far as He's concerned. It has to do with your everyday relationship and how you feel. It's the same way with you husbands and wives. Things can get different and cold and odd between you. You're still married. You're still, you know, you're still husband and wife, but things are a little tense and a little tight. You say a few words to one another and it's not quite the same. You love me? Yeah, I love you. You still marry me again? Yeah, right. I do it. Sure. Yeah. But you know what? There's things about you that's not just right. And when you get those things out of the way, then you're not no more married than what you were when it was real tense, but the feeling between you has been fixed. It's the same way with our walk with God. Sometimes things come between us and we just don't feel toward Him. It's not Him, it's us. We just don't feel the same toward Him. We don't have the fervency, the desire that we had. God wants to fix that, right? And what's He want us to do? Is that based upon the unconditional part? That'd be nobody saved if He based it upon our condition. We're too sorry. We're no good. We're no count. I'm talking about your flesh now, not your soul. So God based your soul, Israel, upon the unconditional covenant. But God placed your land, children of God, your land upon a conditional covenant. You are Israel in type. You are Jacob and Israel. You are Israel from the soul and you are Jacob from the flesh. Oh, hallelujah. You are the Israel of God that has an unconditional covenant. You are the Jacob of the one that has this on a conditional covenant. It can be up and down and in and out and cold and on fire and whatever more, just about all in one week's time. Amen. Notice this now. Let's look at this from the scripture again in Leviticus 26:3. If ye walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then will I give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and your threshing shall reach unto the vintage. Now notice conditions. Conditions. This has nothing to do with Israel being saved. This has to do with the prosperity in the land. If you obey me, if you keep my words, and I'll bless your crops, I'll give you rain, I'll give you dew. Notice how he says this now. I'll give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and your threshing shall reach unto the vintage. So there won't be a space of time that you'll have a shortage of food, but your threshing will actually reach to last year's harvest. You understand that? So your threshing of this year, there won't be 3 months or 4 months that you're really having a hard time. But your threshing or your harvest time of this year, you'll have so much left over from last year that you'll never even know it. It'll all just seem right together. You'll have rain when you need it. You'll have corn when you need it. You'll have apples and peaches and maters and cucumbers and squash and broccoli if you like it. And you'll have all this other sort of stuff. And it'll just seam right in from one time to another. You'll never get to a spot that you'll be hungry. Oh, but wait a minute. That's based upon conditions. Hallelujah. How many feels like sometimes your threshing reaches to your vintage? It just ties right in together. I mean, you're never hungry. You go to church. Oh, my praise God. We're going to have a revival. Really? When have we been having without one? Oh, my, we're going to have a camp meeting. Oh, my, we're going to get all stirred up in our church. I don't know about you. I've been stirred up for how many decades has it been now? I can't even remember when I wasn't stirred up, really. But you realize a lot of it depends on you. I'm not waiting on Happy Valley to have a revival, okay? Sorry, folks. I'm not waiting on you all to have church. If some of y'all come or don't come, that's entirely up to you. If some of y'all don't get in the service, that's up to you. I will never stand before God and Him say, you only give half of what you were. Never. I've never done it in Pentecost, and I sure ain't going to do it now. If I preach a half a building full or a third of a building full or five, I'm going to give my best and give my all. And God has always blessed me for that principle because He knows I will never cut back my strength if only half of the congregation is there. Or if I'm preaching to a handful, I'll never cut back my energy. I never cut back my application. I give absolutely everything. Or I'm preaching to 5 or 5,000. It makes no difference to me. I'm going to do my best because I'm not just preaching to you. I'm preaching before heaven. I'm preaching before God. I'm preaching before angels. Oh, hallelujah. I want to behave myself as if God was the only one sitting right here listening. So therefore, I can have revival. You can too. It don't have to be just me. Now watch in verse 6. I will give peace. Notice where? In the land. You shall lie down and none shall make you afraid. I will rid evil beasts out of the land. Neither shall the sword go through your land. Where's the conditions? The land. The covenant to Abraham is unconditional. Amen. But the covenant with the land is conditional. That's why you can go to bed some nights and, oh my, you're just soared in heavenly places. And you get up the next morning and you're not even sure what happened. But you feel so different. Y'all ever had days like that? What did you say? My goodness, what in the world? What went on? Was it a bad dream? I mean, what was it that I feel so different? It's the land. It's the variables that affect the land. Notice this. He says in verse 7, you shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. You will actually chase your enemies. They won't chase you. My, wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't that be something that you are chasing your enemies? Instead of high blood pressure chasing you, you're chasing it. Instead of cancer chasing you or depression chasing you, you're saying, depression, you better get out of here. I'm fixing to get your hide. And depression's running from you like a scared chicken because you got an axe in your hand. Oh, yes, that's crazy, isn't it? The Bible says, submit yourself, therefore, in the mighty hand of God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Based upon what? Now, if this was unconditional, they would have had this the whole time, and they would still be in the land of Palestine to this day, in charge of their land. But they're still not in charge. Palestinians live right around the Holy Wall. I've been there. Palestinians live here and live there. They can't even have access to the Temple Mount. Why? Conditions were not met. But aren't you glad the unconditional covenant, destiny of the soul, overrides conditional covenant, possession of the land? Oh my, notice in verse 8, and five of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. And your enemy shall fall before you by the sword. Verse 14, but if you will not hearken unto me, and will not do all these commandments, and if you shall despise my statutes, or if your soul abhor my judgments, so that you will not do all my commandments, but that you break my covenant, I will also do this unto you. Now is God revoking the unconditional covenant given to Abraham? No. Two separate covenants. One possession of the soul, one possession of the body. Or in their case, the land. Praise God. Notice now, I will even appoint over you terror, consumption, and the burning of goo that shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart. And you shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemy shall eat it. What in the world made the difference? Obedience. Obedience. Simply doing what God said. Now, if you do what I say, then I'll do all these things. I'll make you where five of you will chase 100. 100 of you will chase 10,000. Your enemy will be so afraid of you when they meet you out in the field. They'll take off running like crazy. A turkey at Thanksgiving. They'll be flying out of the, oh Lord, here they come. Here they come. Get away from them. Get away from them. But if you don't obey my word, it'll be you running from your enemy. It'll be your enemy chasing you. Not only that, but I'll turn pestilence in on you. But would they lose their soul? No. Saul backslid, got away from God. Did he lose his soul? No. Samson fell in love with women. Had all kinds of woman problems. Lost his eyesight. Lost his victory. But never lost his soul. Why? Unconditional covenant. Now, the covenant of his obedience and his walk with God is based upon what? Don't cut your hair, be a Nazarite, don't drink wine, don't do this, that, the other. That's conditions. And when he told the secret of his hair, then the condition left, she removed his hair, and he lost what? His power. But not his soul. Glory to God. Can't you see why God would do this? He is determined. He will not lose his children. Oh, praise the Lord. Now, notice when God turns against you, friends, I mean, it can be pretty bad. I will set my face, verse 17, against you, and you shall be slain before your enemies. They that hate you shall reign over you. And ye shall flee when none pursueth you. You will live in such terror and such dread that nobody's even out there after you. But you'll be so afraid. You'll just be running from your own shadow. And then you look back at the, oh, sorry. nothing. Yes, the fear was within you. Why? Because you disobeyed the word. This reminds me a lot of the message, folks. They live in such a pitiful state spiritually. They're scared of everything. My, don't get quiet on me now. Brother Donnelly, I thought you was going to preach on election. I'm preaching on election. Glory. And if ye will not yet for all this hearken unto me, then I will punish you 7 times more for your sins. And I will break the pride of your power. God hates pride. And I will make your heaven as iron and your earth as brass. Now remember, God ain't talking to Philistines, Amorites, and Hittites. He's talking to his chosen people. Are we chosen? Elected, you believe that? But there's requirements, friends. Verse 22. I will send wild beasts among you, which shall rob you of your children, and destroy your cattle, and make you few in number, and your highways shall be desolate. Verse 31. I will make your cities waste, and bring your sanctuaries into desolation. Now come over here to the Lamentations of Jeremiah, chapter 1. Look at Jeremiah sitting outside the city of Jerusalem, 5 miles outside the city in the cave. And what do you see? As if though Jeremiah was sitting here reading Leviticus 26. Because the exact prophecy that God had given to them had come to pass in the days of Jeremiah, when the king of Babylon comes and carries away Zedekiah, and he pokes out his eyes and kills his sons, and they lay the city raised, and they carry away all the gold and the silver out of the temple, and they burn the temple to the ground because God was mean because his children disobeyed his word. So were they all lost? No. So here goes the elect of God in chains to Babylon. I wonder how many of our sicknesses and how much of our troubles and how much of the disarray in our home is brought on because of us. It ain't even the devil. It's our laziness, our slothfulness. Well, praise the Lord. Oh my goodness. Praise Brother Donnie. I'm with you, buddy. Amen. Amen. Preach. Notice in verse 31, I will make your cities waste and bring your sanctuaries into desolation. I will not smell the savior of your sweet odors. I will bring the land into desolation. Notice what he's bringing into desolation. Not the soul. Amen. The land. Sure. How many believes Israel still belongs to Israel? Palestine belongs to Israel. How many believes it'll be theirs in the millennium? In the 8th day? Do they have possession of it now? No. Can they do as they want? They cannot. If they build communities in a certain, you know, designated area that the world says is not theirs, oh my, they catch the office rake and ever was. And yet, according to the original title deed, it belongs to them. So when they go to expanding their boundary to the promised word that God gave Abraham, they go to getting all kinds of public ridicule. Well, it's the same way with spiritual Israel. When we go to declaring the original warranty title deed boundaries given to us by the original apostolic fathers, we come under all types of onslaught of the public, of message people. Come on, children. While we're trying to expand our house or our habitation back to the original boundary that God gave us before the foundation of the world.
Amen. So devil, just go ahead and have yourself a fit because we're moving. Amen.
I will bring the land into desolation, and your enemies which dwell therein shall be astonished at it. And I will scatter you among the heathen, and will draw out a sword after you, and your land shall be desolate and your cities waste. Did it happen? Over and over and over again. Can it happen to you and I? Do you believe this that can happen to you as being elect? Not your soul. Glory. Can't you see why that the preaching of the word, I know it must be confusing to you sometimes. You come in here and my goodness, the Lord anoints me and other men of God and we preach you into a place why there's no fault to you. There's absolutely not one blemish. And the next service you come back like today, you're laid up in the frying pan and I'm grilling you from head to toe. I'm grilling your liver, your brain, your guts and everything else and laying it right out. And some of you's done smelling it right now. You say, what's the difference? God's preaching to the two realms of you. God's preaching to the realm which is eternally secure and the other realm which is based upon conditions. Oh, Brother Donnie, Israel's totally lost. No, they're not. Romans 11:5. Even so then, at this present time, also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Now listen, election of grace. There will be an election of grace. 144,000 Jews will receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Ezekiel 44 through 48 is the setting up of the millennium temple. God, amen, has already prepared that city with the Jews in mind. And even their positions of the patriarchal fathers, the 24 elders, you know who they are, 12 from the old, 12 from the new. And they come up, their identity will never be gone from God, even though they lost their land. There are people that no doubt God has had to allow their life to be cut short in this life because of their disobedience to the word. But he will never lose their soul.
Amen.
Watch this. Brother Abraham says that this one, Jehovah Jireh. Now, Abraham, God called him by election. He wasn't any better than anybody else. He came down from Babylon. Perhaps maybe his father and them might have been an idol worshiper. All I know, it was in Babylon, and Babylon was the beginning of idolatry. It was established by Ham's children, which was Nimrod. Finally, first called the gates of paradise, later Babylon. Confusion. That's where idolatry was set up. And perhaps Abraham's father might have been an idolater, but he came down to the land of Shinar in the city of Ur, and there they sojourned. God, by sovereign grace, called Abraham. Not Abraham calling God. God called Abraham and give him the covenant. Amen. Now to my Armenian brethren. This may shock you just a little bit, but he gave it to him unconditionally. That's right. Oh my, not if you'll do this, if you'll do that. There is no ifs attached to it. I have done it. Amen. I have done it. Amen. Brother, when God amens his own word, you can bank your soul on it. Amen. In the Garden of Eden, God made a covenant with Adam. Adam broke it. God made a covenant with the children of Israel in the land. They broke it. God made a covenant with many, many people, and man always breaks it. It's not in him to keep it. So God made one with the souls of the elect. Unconditional. He may whoop the fart of us in our flesh, but he knows our soul is not at stake at all. That's why I love going to a church where the preacher follows the leading of God and just burns us up. Now, I know some of y'all probably wish I was much more gentle and much more easy. You wouldn't like it too well if you first searched for me down in hell after a while and say, you sorry outfit, why didn't you tell me the truth? I won't be guilty of that. I'm going to tell you the truth if I make you as mad as a bunch of hornets. I'm going to tell you the truth as long as I'm here. I'm going to tell you the truth because I don't want to see you be lost. And I don't want to be lost. Notice this. He says every time God makes a covenant or man makes a covenant with God, he breaks it. Every time. Do you understand that includes you? If God would have made the condition of your soul on a conditional covenant, there would be none of you saved, including the preacher. I love this plan. But this time,
God's determined that he wasn't going to let his children be lost. He made the covenant holy, unconditional. Now remember, this is not his child. Whether you're a priest, a pope, a bishop, whatever you are, spoken words, original seed, this flesh of yours is born between Satan and Eve. I know some of you don't like that because you're so proud of who you are in the flesh. That's your biggest enemy. That's right. Holy, unconditional. He told Abraham, I've saved you and now you're coming to me. Lord have mercy, can you imagine? I've saved you and now you're coming to me. He didn't say, would you please, I beg you, please. Please, Abraham, will you come to me? I really want you to, man. Please, Abraham, I'm getting down on my knees and I'm... Don't make my God such a flimsy wimp. My God don't beg. My God don't need your consent. My God didn't need my consent. He chose us before the world ever began. Hallelujah. He don't have to bargain with the devil. Oh, please, devil, back off just a little bit. I want somebody to serve me. He could stand there before the foundation of the world and decree, my children will live for me. My children will serve me. I decree before there is a world, I will project my attributes to the earth and there is no risk involved at all. Notice this, in the faith of Abraham, he said, therefore, by election, he chose Abraham, for he knew what Abraham would do. He knew what you'd do. Not by your will, but by his help. If it had left you to your own demise, you'd been out here sucking cigarettes today, drunk. Some of you would be piled up in the bed where you've been out doping up all night and drunk all night, running around with somebody else's wife. He didn't leave your destiny up to you, thank God. Some of you wouldn't be in this church today getting your hide burnt. You'd be down sinking creek center. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You'd be amongst the Pentecostals shouting your shoe heels off. But God called you before the foundation of the world and placed you in the message of the end time for your salvation and placed you under a ministry that'll tell you the truth and preach you into a rapture one of these days. Notice this again. He says, every believer is here in Christ, a Christian tonight. Because not that you're good, but because God was good to call you. You just couldn't, as I said the other night, make a pig believe he's wrong eating slop. It's his nature. See, a leopard cannot change his spots. No matter how bad he would lick, he only brighten it. And you don't want reformation. You don't want to try to reform. Do a little better. You've got to be changed completely. Inside. And the nature come from within. And it'll work out. But get it right inside at the beginning. And you began with a soul before the world was ever formed. This is not your beginning. You began with a soul. When God created man in his own image, now you got to get that right. That's what has to be born again. Not your thinking. So what did God do? God purposed it. Unconditional covenant. With my seed forever. When God makes a covenant with a man, man always breaks a covenant with God. So God, by foreknowledge, knew there had to be some preparation made to save man. So God made this covenant with Abraham. Unconditional. Now that may be a little strong. Now you imagine this is 1956. I imagine it's pretty strong. Friends, I know you don't understand it. And I know you probably shake your head whenever I say this. But do you understand there are message churches I would get in trouble with if I preached this in their church? There are message churches. If I read these quotes that I've read to you, what I preached last night, and just thus far this morning, I would never be asked back again. Wow. Message churches, not Pentecostal. No. Message people. And yet they claim this message is theirs, and the prophet of God is their prophet. There's something wrong somewhere. Amen.
Oh my. Whew. Nothing Abraham had to do with it. I've got it. You're coming to me in an old age. I've already saved you. God said, I will. And then we read it last night. Then the scripture says Abraham believed God. Yeah, after God made all them promises, then Abraham believed him. God said about you and about you and about you and about you. He made all these promises for the foundation of the world. And then finally you got saved and said, well, I believe it now. God said, well, it's about time you caught up. God didn't wait on you to say it. He said it, knew and you come. He said it about Abraham, Brother Terry, because he knew Abraham would respond. Oh, not only have I saved you, I'll save your seed after you. Not if you'll do something. If you will or you won't, I have a finished work. It ain't no wonder the devil hates this. One of the most hated doctrines of our message. It ain't no wonder. I'm convinced. Be careful. Talking about going home last night, the quarter read your word. Brother Brandon said, if we really saw that, we ought to be the happiest people in the world. I told her, I said, it proves we still don't see it. We still don't see it like we ought to. If the views, people sitting here today, me along with you, if we saw this in the fullness of what I've already read, my goodness, it would turn our world upside down. We'd be the happiest people in the world. No, it wouldn't eliminate all of our troubles. It would not eliminate all of our problems. But it would take the fear away of you knowing who you are. Hallelujah to God. And knowing that He brought you here and He will take you back where He brought you from. Notice this in Jehovah Jireh in Edmonton. Now, and God made His covenant with Abraham absolutely unconditional. There was no ifs and ands about it. The covenant absolutely had no strings attached to it at all. Abraham had nothing. Nothing to do in it. Identified masterpiece in Abraham. He started with him on an unconditional covenant. Not if you will. I have. I've already done it. Glory to God. I bless you and your seed and so forth. After you was an unconditional covenant. He started with Abraham, his workmanship again, and now his unconditional covenant. Then we find out he based on Abraham and give the covenant unconditional. What's a promise? But you see, that would have not have worked in the Garden of Eden. He needed a conditional covenant. Keep my word, Adam. To this, to that. Subdue the earth. Have you ever took those words in Genesis and wonder why God would tell Adam to subdue the earth? What was there that needed to be subdued? What was in a perfect setting in the Garden of Eden that would need to be brought under Adam's control? Don't you see the whole fight? The whole thing is the battle for position. It's the same with you today. It's not just you getting saved. That's eternally secure. You think your greatest battle is getting saved? That ain't no problem at all. Your greatest battle is finding your place and staying there. Right? You see, a conditional covenant must be upon that basis so when Adam would fall in the Garden of Eden. The prophet said Adam would have had something to do in order to keep his covenant alive before God. He had to walk in God's ways, keeping all of His word, not breaking one word. But he made another covenant, and that was with Abraham. That covenant was not on conditions, but was unconditional. God gave the covenant to Abraham, no strings tied at all. Unconditional, not I will, I have. I've already done it. And that's the law Christians must live by. Well, I'm going to read my Bible today and pray God will get mad at me if I don't. I'm going to go to church because the deacons will call me on the phone. I'm going to pay my tithes because Brother Jim will probably tell Brother Donnie that I ain't paid tithes in 6 months. I'm not going to beat my wife today because it's the Sabbath. I'm not going to do this, and I better be a better person. That's not the law you live by. It's the law of an unconditional covenant. I don't not whip my wife because I'm scared God will whip me. I don't whip her because I love her. Amen. I don't not drink because I'm scared I'll go to hell. I don't want to get sick. I don't want to do that sort of stuff. I don't smoke. I don't do this and that because I'm scared I'll go to hell. I don't want to do it. Why? The nature. The conditional covenant did not release a nature to release you from desire of sin. The unconditional covenant released us a nature to not just well. No. He said, I don't want to. And the devil says, hey, you want to go get drunk? I said, I just left church drunk. You want some heroin? You want some marijuana? I ain't got time. I'm fixing to get drunk again on the Holy Ghost. Hey, you want to rob a bank? You want to go out into this and that? You know what? The Lord wants heaven to be so projected before you and your husband so projected before you that when the devil comes and tempts you, you say, are you kidding me?
Amen.
I purpose in my life and my marriage to be such a husband. Now, there's men much more handsome than I. It's okay to say amen. It don't offend me. There's men that could provide for my wife much better. There's men that could be a whole lot, their obligation or their calling life could have been a whole lot less burdensome than being a preacher's wife. But I'll tell you one thing. I want to be such a man in that woman's life that the devil puts men in front of her. She'll look at him and say, you got to be kidding me. Why would I want to leave Donnie? He's my hero. He's my this and that and the other. Why in the world would I want to leave him for you? That's the way Jesus wants you to do. When the devil offers you the world, you look at him and say, you got to be kidding me, devil. You think I'd want to leave my husband, the Lord Jesus, to follow you? You ain't got no heaven. You ain't got no healing. You ain't got no miracles. You ain't got no deliverance. Why would I leave my Lord Jesus to follow you? From him. Notice in Genesis 17:17, let's jump down, Brother Daniel, to the scripture there. Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, should a child be born to him that's 100 years old? Almighty God tells this man, I'm fixing to bless you with a child. It's going to be a son. And what did his covenant son do? Laughs at God. And laughs at him and says, you got to be kidding me. If it had a conditional covenant right there, he'd been cut off. How many times have you, being down and weary and depressed, have said, God, do you even love me? God, do you even care for me? If you'd had a conditional covenant, you'd have been cut off right there. But the unconditional covenant, God don't turn his eye to your failures, but through the mediatorship of the high priest, God looks at you and knows that you're immortal under stress. And he whoops you good and keeps loving you. Now watch Abraham. Okay, so it laughs. Look in verse 18. And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. I don't need another son. I've got one. You have got your Armenian son. But Abraham, you need an elect son. You've got Ishmael produced by slightly doubt of the promise. But you need a son based upon original faith. Now he laughs, and then he turns and says, No, don't take it. Please don't take Ishmael. Let Ishmael live before you. The children of Israel have dealt with this prayer of this prophet for thousands of years. I wonder if he hadn't have been better off to left this alone and let God carry out whatever justice would be. But instead, God's going to give it to him. Be careful what you pray for. Answered prayers aren't always the best for you. God said, Sarah, thy wife shall bear thee a son. God could look right at him and said, whether you want it or not, whether you believe, whether you are trembling in fear, whether you're scared for Ishmael, I said, Sarah is going to have a son. You may look at yourself and look around you. My, the people are so weak. How can there ever be a rapture? God said there will be a rapture. Your laughing has nothing to do with it. Your fear has nothing to do with it. Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Laughter. That's what Isaac means. Laughter. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. Is that fair? He ain't even born yet. How is God making up his mind before he's born to even have a chance to make up his mind? How is God establishing his covenant with an unborn child?
Amen.
Same way he did with me. Verse 20. As for Ishmael, I have heard thee, and behold, I have blessed him. Now notice the difference. Ishmael gets no covenant. He gets blessings. What do the nominations get? Blessings. Fruitfulness. BMWs. Mercedes. Cadillacs. Lincolns. Yachts. Boats. Houses. Lands. Tribulation. Why don't you get tribulation? Because you have a covenant.
Amen.
Oh, let Ishmael in before you. God said, I've heard your prayer and I will bless him. But my covenant goes to Isaac.
Amen.
Y'all believe this is just? Mm-mm-mm. I will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. Denomination. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac. Abraham, I love you, but even you can't change me on this. Which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time next year. Ishmael will be blessed, but Isaac gets my covenant. The denominations will be blessed. They will be saved. They will be delivered. They will be healed. But the bride, mine elect, gets my covenant. Now watch Abraham act like God. In Genesis 25:5, and Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac. But unto the sons of the concubines which Abraham had, Abraham gave tongues and interpretation and prophecy and shouting and healing and miracles and large churches. Now Abraham has got the revelation. God put a difference between his two sons. All of it makes up the family of Abraham. Lord have mercy. Amen. Can't you see the economy of God? There's so many in there that makes up the economy and the kingdom of God. Abraham's now thinking like God. So he gives everything that he has unto Isaac. But unto the sons of the concubines, which was who? Keturah and Hagar. Hagar was not a wife. She was only a church. I mean... So here the scripture identifies her as a concubine. So Abraham has all these other sons. Of course, you remember reading in the scripture, Medan and Din and Midianites and all the rest of the Arabs. It's the Arab people. That's why they claim Abraham was their father. And he was. But the covenant. Can't you see, friends, why that the Muslim and the Arabs, this Bible right here, prefers Isaac. Can't you see why Muhammad had to write a new one? So the Quran prefers who? The Arab people, Ishmael. Well, glory. You see, whenever they can't find themselves in the will like they want, they just write a new will. So what is the Quran? It is the Bible of the Muslim speaking people or the Arabic speaking people. So it is a new will supposedly given to him by an angel which institutes the truths of who they supposedly are. So they believe it was not Isaac that Abraham took up on the mountain, but it was Ishmael. So if you can't find your place in the will, what you want, what do? You just make a right a new will. Since homosexuals can't find their place here in the Word, they write a new version and call it the Queen James Version. Why? Because the King condemns that lifestyle. Praise the Lord. So what do? You write a new will. Oh, some of you would never write a new Bible, but you've got one written right here in your thinking. Oh, my. Can I go just a few more minutes? Romans chapter 9, verse 10. Not only this, but when Rebekah had also conceived by one, even our father Isaac, the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. And the saint said, amen. Let's look at the meaning of this word election. The act of picking out. Choosing. Now this is in the Greek lexicon or the Strong's. I left this information there so you can check me out. It's number 1589. The act of picking out, choosing, used of the act of God's. This is the free moral agency I really like. This is the free will that I am in love with. The act of God's free will by which before the foundation of the world, he decreed his blessings to certain persons. The decree made from choice by which he determined to bless certain persons through Christ by grace. Romans chapter 11 verse 5. Even so then at the present time there's also a remnant according to the election of grace, the Jews. Verse 7. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it. So here is an election out of Israel, and there is an election out of the church. The church has not obtained it, but the elect have. And the rest were blinded. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 4. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. And the meaning is that you have such a strong confidence, it eradicates forever your fear. Why? Because he has chosen you. The salvation of the Spirit and sanctification of the Spirit and the belief of the truth. And you know your election. It ain't enough to hear me preach it. If you're not praying, God, make it real to me. You need to be. It ain't enough for you to hear the quotes and memorize them. You need to pray, God, make it so real to me. It will drive fear away from my life. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. 2 Peter 1:10. Wherefore, the brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. The Greek word for sure, bibiain, was used in classical Greek to refer to a warranty deed, somewhat like those people use today on houses and other pieces of property. So you make your calling and election. God, by His Spirit, makes it so real to you. It's sure to you. I can't be sure for you, but I can be sure for me. It's not your place to be sure for your mama, your daddy, your brother, your sister. That's not what Peter said. But he said each one of you can have the warranty deed so revealed in your heart that you are sure you have passed from death unto life. And the devil says you ain't going. You say, shut up. They're after you. Out of my way. Why, you can't go. You're no good. Shut your mouth. I'm going on with God. Why? Not by intellectual knowledge. Not pride and arrogance of humanity. It has been so revealed to you. The warranty deed is in your soul. You are sure. Our godly behavior reflects itself, though, that all claims have been cleared off of the title deed. Look at this. BBN is rendered secure in Hebrews 6:19. Guaranteed in Romans 4:16. Firm, 2 Corinthians 1:7. Courage in Hebrews 3:6. Confidence in Hebrews 3:14. And in force, Hebrews 9:17. Wherefore, the brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. Brother Donna, there's so many people falling away. Aren't you scared about yourself? Not one bit. Aren't you scared you'll run across something that'll raise so many questions in your mind? Not one bit. Questions had a day they started, they'll have a day they die. I never had a day I started, therefore I cannot die. Amen. I come from eternity where there were no questions on God's word. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. A believer shows by his godly life and his constant working in the virtues. The virtues is just preceding these verses here. And Peter was showing if you had these things in you, you will never fall.
Let me close with this. Such a believer will not fall, or the Greek word is actually stumble. The word stumble does not suggest the believer loses his salvation. The Greek word for stumble means to trip up or to experience a reversal. A reversal. Why? Your soul is eternally secured. Let's stand. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Don't you appreciate election? Oh my. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So my brothers and my sisters, make your calling and your election sure. This ain't a preacher call now. This is not whether or not you're called to be a preacher or a singer. That ain't what this word is. It's your calling from God. Don't leave you today. Oh God, I don't know. Oh God, I'm foolish virgin. Oh God, I'm not. Make your calling and your election sure, steadfast. How can I know, Brother Don? How can I know? Have you got the title deed? If you've got the deed, you're good to go. You've passed from death unto life. You come from here, and you'll return to there.
was reading the other day where Stephen Hawking, you know, the great physicist and scientist, the great mind of the day, was so scared to death. Aliens was going to try to contact the earth. Trying to tell the government what to do to be ready for the aliens. I thought, Lord Jesus, thank you for the truth. Get prepared for UFOs and watch for this, that, and the other. I'm not trying to preach you into a UFO status, but IFTs, identified flying theophanies.
Amen.
Aren't you glad, friends? The Democrats is tore all to pieces. They're scared to death. Hillary ain't going to get it. And the Republicans are scared to death. She is. And the people in the middle don't know what to do. And we can just say, whatever God's will is going to be, is going to be. I said it before. I'll say it again. If Hillary's the one the prophet of God saw, there ain't enough money in the world to keep her out of the White House. And if she ain't, there ain't enough money in the world to put her in. Come on. I'm excited about a Trump, but it ain't Donald. It's the Trump of God I'm waiting for. Praise the Lord. Oh, does it concern me as an American citizen? Certainly it does. But friends, my hope ain't in the White House. It's in heaven's house. Praise God. All the powers that are to be are ordained of God. He knows exactly before there's an election who the president will be. And our lives are in His hands. May God help us. To me, this is a real Christian. An identified masterpiece of God. With the unconditional covenant from the soul. Merges in such harmony. With the conditional covenant of the land. It is a consecrated Christian. And the more they surrender. The more they're able to let Him have control. So you get in situations where your temper should really get upset and really give somebody a piece of your mind. But when these two harmonize, you're possessing your land. When somebody blasts you on Facebook and says this and that and the other, oh, they may not call your name, but pretty much everybody knows who they're talking about. Boy, you want to get on there and give them a piece of your mind when your land and your soul lines up together. Now, Lord Jesus, what would you do? If you had a Facebook account, Lord, would you get on there and take up for yourself? Or would you stand like you did before Pilate and not open your mouth? You see, that's when you are receiving the full benefit of your land. That's when your enemy will run from you. Oh, well, I don't understand. I've been here almost 30 years, and every time I go to preach and stuff like this, you folks get quiet on me. Oh, I know what it is. It's that smell I smell every time I go to... Fried electide. I place it before you as your shepherd.
Yes, sir.
You can live this kind of life. Well, your soul. Oh, you'll be saved. Oh, yes, you'll be saved. And this one over here is so contrary. Or you can live this kind of life. And it'll be a battle every day. Of course, today it might be like this. Of course, you've been in church today. But tomorrow, it may... You mean you're telling me, Brother Donnie, it is an everyday battle? Well, I should have rephrased that. I should have said every second. Every second, every moment, every hour. But I believe with all my heart somebody in the earth today is going to live that kind of life.
Amen.
Anybody here want to? Beside me.
Yes,
young people, middle-aged people, older people.
Yes, sir.
This can be your land where your enemies will flee from you. They are scared of you. Not because of what you quote. Not because you jump so high and you speak in tongues so fast. But because they have a hard time differentiating the land from the soul. Because the land is under such submission and control of the soul. You're getting to a place they can tell if it's you or God talking. Can you imagine Brother Branham walking with a place when God, even some of his own family, thought it was God. Any of y'all been mistaken for God as of late? Any of your children thought you might be God and they want to baptize in your name or any of your followers? My. Oh, don't you love Him though? Aren't you glad? If it was based upon that, there wouldn't be no church here. Y'all wouldn't have a preacher. There wouldn't be no deacons. There wouldn't be no trustees. There wouldn't be no musicians. Because y'all wouldn't worry about it. Because y'all wouldn't be here no way. Because y'all be out drunk. But God said, I will save mine unconditionally. And then He gives you your will and said, now here, this is yours. Take it. Use it. This is your ability. Take it. Use it. This is your strength. This is your desire. I gift you with this and that and the other. What will you do with it? I was reading the other day, and maybe Lord willing, in a few weeks I might bring it to you. Well, that Paul said about the preachers in the first church age, in the first century AD. He said, every man is seeking his own. And he said, I've only got one man that's like-minded like as I am. And that's Timothy. Already the first century preachers was out after their own little space and their own what they can be and this and that. I'll tell you, children, it's so disturbing. When I look around and I see younger men around this message that claim to be preachers. And some of them are nothing but politicians. Some of them, oh Lord, come, Lord Jesus. If this generation of older men that's preaching the message now, if they die off, some of the younger men that's following, God have mercy. They are not concerned about sheep. Many of them are not concerned about the kingdom of God. They are concerned about themselves. I know this may shock you, but some of them will lie to preach. They will lie to get in churches. A man like ain't fit to walk up here and pray, much less preach. Why? 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 Because the emphasis changes. It's no longer about lining this up. It's about me and mine and my gift and my ministry and what I can do. And I can come, Lord Jesus. Oh my. Well, it's just not said about preachers, but what some of the old timers here in our church, if the Lord tarries another 10 years, and you 30 years old and you 40 years old, what are you all going to make out of Happy Valley when some of you come one time a week and live 5 miles down the road? What will be this church if they die and leave you in charge of it? What will it be when you become the elders and you'd rather go out shopping somewhere on Saturday night than come to the house of God? You'd rather go golfing or this and that and the other. And said, how long has it been since some of you all sat down and listened to a tape of the message of the hour? How long has it been since you got down on your knees and prayed through? Come on, children, don't get quiet on me. If the Lord takes some of us older ones, what will you younger ones do at this church? What will you make it? Nothing but a bunch of festivals and a bunch of rodeos and clowns and circuses? Is that what you're going to turn Happy Valley into? Social gatherings of this and social gatherings of that. Think of it. If I die, Brother Darrell dies, some of these older people die, and it's left in the hands of you younger people. What will Happy Valley become in a year's time? It ought to be the same thing as it is. As far as a Bible-believing, Holy Ghost-teaching church. That's what God wants the message to be. Every generation, men that take the truth and preach it. God help us. But you see, when men pull away from this, then it's no longer the kingdom of God, for the glory of God, for the gospel. Paul says, some preach Christ. Listen to this. Some preach Christ for contention. Thinking to add to my bonds. What would a preacher want to preach Christ to add to a prophet's bonds? They're not even doing it for the right reason, yet they're preaching Christ. And they've done it thinking, this is going to make it hard on Paul. I can't wait. I can't wait to get up there and preach. Oh, God, help us. God, help us. Children, I want my land. I don't just want my soul saved by the day, and I want my land. And my land is bringing this subject to the will of God. That's your land. If the Lord tarries 25, 30, 40 years, I realize I'm getting older and I can't always live here and keep you. If the Lord tarries for a few years, what'll be the legacy of Happy Valley? You'd be like a lot of the rest of the message churches. Stop having church on Wednesday because folks don't want to come. Stop having it on Saturday because they'd rather be out socializing. So you have it once a week. And you got some soft soul preacher in here that don't ever preach sin against sin because he's afraid to lose a crowd. God will write Ichabod on that door. God will write Ichabod on your sign and he will no longer be welcome. Oh my. My Lord, what in the world am I saying this for? What do you want it to be, children? It's not my legacy. It's not a legacy of a man. It's the legacy of Christ the Word. That's not our reputation on the line. It's the gospel of Christ. Let's bow our heads together. Oh, Lord Jesus. It breaks my heart to have to say these things. Help us, dear God. Lord, I don't see how that time can go on very much longer at all myself. But if it goes on another 15, 20 years, these 20-year-olds here today will be 30 or 35, married with children. How will them fathers lead their homes? Will they lead them in prayer? Will the prophet's voice even be played in their homes anymore? Or will they be filled with sports and all they have going is videos and movies? They never take time to sit down and read the Bible and pray. What will these mothers lead? Will they sit down to read and teach their children about the grace of God? Will they be gossiping and talking about this and that and the other? Lord, help us, Jesus. We don't want to become like the children of Israel. Well, they lost their temple. They lost their land. They lost their inheritance. They lost their city because of their disobedience. Lord, help me. Search me today, Father. A lot of preachers do good in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s. Many of them, they really wreck up and they get old. God, keep me by your grace. Keep me, Lord Jesus. I don't want to live all these years, Lord, and wreck all along the way. I want to keep my land plumb to the grave if I go that way, or the body change if I'm alive. Help me, Lord Jesus. I don't want to run from the enemy. I don't want the enemy to have power over me, Lord. But I want the enemy to be afraid of me to my dying day. Not of me so much in the flesh, but you in me. Lord, we don't want to give up our inheritance and become nothing but just a memory of what we used to be, a shadow of what we were. Help us today, Lord Jesus. I must say I'm so surprised at the way this service has gone today, Lord. Looking at these scriptures and quotes, I thought the direction would be different. But I believe it comes from you today, so therefore, I will not apologize. Speak to our hearts, deal with us, Lord. Help each of us, Father. Not just the old, but the young. Help us, Lord. If they were given the key to Happy Valley, if they were the prime example of Happy Valley, what would we be? If each individual would take this to heart and think about it today. Is there any need to have revivals? Is there any need to really pray if they were the example? Is there any need to have church three times a week? Is there any need to do all these things? Help us, Lord. Whether or not we live to be 100 years old or 90, none of us have a promise we'll live through this afternoon. So we want to do our very best every day of our life. Lord Jesus, speak to us today. Not only us visible, but those that are invisible, Lord. We want to line up both of these covenants
the unconditional and the conditional, the soul, the land. Make them reflect harmony with God. When you come on the earth, Lord Jesus, that's what you've done. You lined up the soul and the land, the body. And you would bring the body to the Garden of Gethsemane and say, not my will, but thy will be done. That was not the soul praying that way. It was the land. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. How many like to be remembered today before the Lord? Oh my, me too. Look, friends, if you don't need prayer today, maybe you're doing okay. Please. Please pray for me. Please pray God will help me. That I'll stay straight, stay genuine, sincere, on fire, in love with Him to my dying day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. That Jesus Christ is Lord. Let's pray now. Heavenly Father, we want you to be our Lord. Completely our Lord. Over our soul, our homes, our music, our recreation, everything we do, our lives every day. Not just on Sunday, Lord. I want you to be Lord over my entire being. Hallelujah. Help me, Lord Jesus. Help me to stay straight, true, genuine, sincere, Father. Hallelujah. May my land be in a line with my soul. So when I pray, the devils will run from my prayers. I don't want to be a shadow of what I used to be as a man of God. But Lord, let me go even down in the old age, faithful to you, Lord Jesus. May each one of us here today, Lord. For He is Lord. Can we raise our hands and sing it to Him now in His presence? Is this what you want for your life? You want both in harmony? Oh, He has risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Sing it again. Mean it with all your heart now. For He is Lord. Yes, Father. Lord of my sight. Lord of my hearing. Lord of my mouth. Lord of everything about me, Lord God. Oh, He has risen from the dead. And Jesus is Lord. Shake somebody's hand and tell them, it's been good to be in church today. Been good to be in church today, Brother Terry. Been good to be in church, Brother Jerry. Been good to be in church, saints. Amen. Good to be in church, my brother. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Saints, I'll see you, Lord willing, Wednesday if the viewing for Brother Gissen dinner happens sometime this week. I'm not sure exactly when that'll be, but I've been really close to him over the years. As a matter of fact, Carol and I left Sister Margie when we left there to go to where Brother Fred Mullins to preach. I stopped to see Brother Bud, and Sister Lois was there with him for probably 2.5 hours, something like that, visiting with him. And if it's sometime during the middle of the week, I may try to go down there for the viewing. But remember the family in prayer. God will just be with them. He knows all their needs and all the situations there and strengthen them all. We know that death must come. It's got to come. But I believe God can help us through it. Also remember Brother Homer. He's still hanging in there. He told me the other day the nights are the most lonely times. So he tries to stay up real late and just try to just pass going nearly. So let's pray for our brother. You got a need in your life. You'd like to be remembered as well today as we close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we bring before you, Lord, the Gibson and her family today. Dear Jesus, Brother Bud, Lord, we can't feel sorry for him. Lord, he's moved into that glorious dimension, into that body. Yet you know what death does to the family members, Lord, as it leaves behind. Sister Lois so tore up this morning, they had to take her to the hospital. Father, I got a text from Brother Randy early before church and said she was doing some better, but they're going to keep her overnight for observation. Then, Lord, they'll have to deal with the funeral arrangements and all that. May your presence just be with them and help them. Help them through all the different things that they'll have to deal with over the next few days. You know all things, Lord. We still want to remember our Brother Homer, Father, that you just continue to strengthen him, Lord, and be with him, dear Father. Lord Jesus, we know that death must come, either that or the change, but we're glad that you're mindful of us to help us this time. You saw the hands, hundreds of them lifted up here today. They have needs and requests in their heart. Thank you for another weekend, Lord. Thank you for your word. We count it such an honor to be able to sit under the auspices of the presence of God, to be able to hear your word, Lord. We love you with all of our hearts, Jesus. May you go with us now and keep us by your grace. If it be your will, we gather together again here Wednesday, once again to sit at the table of the King and to feast upon your great word. Bless your children now, Father. We pray in Jesus' name. And the saints said,
amen.
Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. God bless you, children. Go in the fear of God. For he is Lord. He is Lord. He has risen. What was that?